Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 9:43 p.m. That is British summertime, and today is July 27th. Well, I thought today the best way to describe this was in the truism that it was a day of two halves, because Europe and Asia this morning were in positive territory by and large, and we had a couple of 2% advances in Europe today, particularly the French index, and that was led higher by some of those luxury goods companies. So they pulled back sharply yesterday and rebounded sharply in here today. And that was very clearly on the back of the economic data that came out of the USA. So following the Fed meeting yesterday, I think investors pretty much concluded that they understand everything that's going on, that the Fed didn't really change tack, and there wasn't really a lot of new news. But then today, I think we could conclude that there is some new news. So we had GDP quarter over quarter coming in well ahead of expectations. So the argument that growth is slowing, well, that was hit on the head somewhat in here today. And then we had the personal consumption index, certainly lower than the last time round, but better than expected. So personal consumption is still declining, but not as bad as everyone was anticipating. And then the core PCE on a quarter-over-quarter basis was lower than expected. So that's helping to suggest that some of that inflation, particularly the kind that the Fed tends to monitor, is starting to come back down again. Well, in an environment where you have GDP doing better than expected and PCE contracting faster than expected, then anyone who was thinking that we're going to have a soft landing, well, they have certainly something to crow about in here today. So that, I think, was one of the factors that helped European markets to rebound in here today. But then as we look at what happened in the USA, I think it's rather interesting. So we have the NASDAQ 100, which gapped higher in early trading today, but then finished in negative territory. So still back on the lower side of this very short-term range. Now, it's been a rivetingly consistent trend, particularly since March of this year, where we have had a number of very small ranges, one above the last. That remains the case, and it would need downside follow-through tomorrow in order to question that this trend has in fact broken its consistency. Now, I tend to think that it is quite likely it will continue to pull lower from here, but we haven't got evidence to support that just yet. Then let's just look at the leading decliner of the day. So eBay is a well understood, well, and I think a household name, online marketplace. And it gapped lower in here today, falling almost 15%. And this is extending the downtrend, which has been in place now for the last couple of years, pulling back from the region of the 1,000-day moving average and doing so in a very dynamic manner. This is still a downtrend. And at the other side of the equation, then we have some of those tech companies. So Meta today was up in a dynamic manner, and that is following an already very impressive advance. So up 4%, and that is on the close. It gapped higher in here today to hit a new high. So why is it that we had so many of those shares gap higher today, but then fail to sustain that move? And I think that when we look at two additional charts, we're going to have something of an answer. And the fact is that the dollar was really quite firm and reversed an earlier decline to finish on the upper side of the day's range. So that is now finding support in the region of the psychological 100 level, and this is a pretty large outside day. So investors beginning to think that the dollar can appreciate from here. Some of that has to do with the yen as well, although this isn't the other chart that I was thinking of, but the yen was in stronger territory in here today, and it hasn't quite yet sustained a move down through the 200-day moving average, but you are starting to see some speculation that the Bank of Japan is willing to begin to think about changing its yield curve control targets. But Then we also had a significant move in the 10-year treasury, and the 10-year yield today popped straight up to the 4% level once more. So with inflation coming down, but not yet at the Fed's target, and GDP still remaining robust, then there is still the potential that the Fed might yet continue to raise rates. Now, the thing that everyone thought they understood yesterday was that this was pretty close to the end of the tightening cycle. But if GDP is not showing any kind of persistent decline, and the Fed has said on several occasions that a period of below trend growth will need to be found in order to bring inflation under control, well, then that suggests that we are not quite there yet. The 10-year yield closing at the 4% level, that is holding out the prospect of additional upside and the potential for a breakout. And of course, what that also means is that inflation, or at least the fight against inflation, might last a bit longer. And then I would add just one more chart to maybe ram that point home a little harder. And it is that oil prices are back in the $80 area. So, Brent crude was up almost a dollar in here today, reversed the decline that we saw yesterday. It is establishing itself now above the 200-day moving average. It's in the process of breaking the medium-term downtrend, and this is suggesting that what we should be beginning to think about, at least, is the scope for some additional upward pressure on energy prices and potentially that the inflation that comes along with that. So, this is a meaningful move here and something that we should be paying attention to. Now, I think then it's particularly interesting that on a day when oil prices are breaking the downtrend, that natural gas today was down 17 cents, so continuing to ease back from the $3 area. And this base formation that's underway remains in formation. And having now broken lower to a new reaction low, there is the possibility that it is going to come back down and test the lower side of this range. And that would be around the $2 level. So in the energy complex, we have evidence of both deflationary and inflationary forces. But one thing is for certain, and it is that with natural gas prices starting to come back down, then somebody's going to find a use for it. And that's quite likely to be in the industrial sector and also in power generation. So, of course, lower natural gas prices also make the case that investing in renewable energy is a waste of money. So, obviously, then there's a lot of questioning around the technology. I saw another news story today talking about ambient temperature superconductors. I have to say that I'm in the show me category here. I've seen too many of these kinds of articles over the course of the last decade, and none of them have really come to fruition. But when we then think about where we are, well, if bond yields are rising, and of course, if the 10-year yield is appreciating, well, that is certainly going to raise the potential that we're going to have and further pressure on lending standards. But you get an inverted yield curve because the 2-year is rising faster than the 10-year. So the 10-year today rose faster than the 2-year. And I think perhaps we have to start thinking that maybe we are towards the lower boundary here. And eventually the yield curve spread is going to turn upwards. And it's usually when it's trending higher, particularly as it trends up through zero. Well, then that is usually when we get some of the greatest selling pressure. So I do think that we're at a very interesting stage here because we've had a storming performance from some of the largest companies. And most of them gapped higher in here today and then failed to sustain that move on the upside. So If we look at Apple, for example, it continues to range here below the $200 level and did gap higher and then close lower in here today as well. And then when we think about Microsoft, well, they released their earnings or their earnings statement, and earnings aren't improving. And that's not good news. They've spent a ton of money on artificial intelligence, and they anticipate incorporating artificial intelligence into every aspect of their business and all the products that they sell as well. And you would think that with all of that going on, that they would perhaps be getting making some additional money, but it's not happening. So I think that's an important point. So as we think then about where the potential is, well, we're certainly looking at the scope for a reversion back to the mean. And then let's just put the NASDAQ up on a weekly chart. And we're right in the region of the peak from back in 2021. And we're quite overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. So I think that there is clearly scope for at least pause and consolidation here, and then we should be thinking about the potential at least that we're in a situation where there is a big question outstanding about just how much of the wonderful news about artificial intelligence has been priced in and how much there is yet to go. And I think it's particularly important at this stage in the cycle to monitor the leading share, which is Nvidia. So it also pushed on the upside here and failed to sustain the move. And we're still in a trendy environment. The sequence of higher reaction lows remains intact, but we're very overextended. And the point that I was making last week is that we have RSIs, and it's, I think, rather important to highlight these when they do become when we do get signals. So the most important way to monitor an RSI chart is for divergence, and where you have higher highs on the price action, but you have lower highs on the index, that's generally not a bullish phenomenon. It's much more likely to represent topping activity because of the lower relative strength overall. And of course, that is comparing it to itself. So as we then think about where we are, well, we know that monetary conditions are tight, and that when we think about the banking sector, they're going to have to set aside more money for losses. And the banking sector has been resurgent because they're being afforded a lot of liquidity through the discount window. But as the pressure that comes to bear from the threat at least of additional regulation, then banks might have a more difficult time making money. And we're still in a negative, or excuse me, an inverted yield curve situation. So it's already difficult for banks to make money. So certainly, as we look around the world, the inflation issue, I think the biggest conclusion is that it's behind us. And yet we have this situation where we have oil prices now continuing to rally. And that's obviously then going to create an additional problem for the inflation metric. So this is obviously what's being priced into markets right now, that there is still the potential for additional tightening, and that inflationary pressures could quite easily start to ramp higher again. We've seen over the last several weeks that the soft commodities are also starting to appreciate here, and we've seen quite a bit of volatility in wheat, for example, but orange juice has been quite firm. And then we've seen that sugar prices are really quite high. And then coffee has been very volatile, being both up and down. And of course, there's been quite a big differential between Arabica and Robusta. So, Arabica prices are now back in the region of 150. It's one of the weaker price series in the wider agriculture sector. But then, when we just aggregate everything and look at that futures-based agriculture fund, well, it pauses now in the region of its new recovery high. And it's a little overbought in the short term, but there's been a sequence of higher reaction lows all year. Now, because this is a futures fund and it's battling a contango, the times when it appreciates, well, that's generally consistent with a supply, or excuse me, a demand-dominated environment. And that's exactly what we have right now. Now, when we turn our attention to what's going on in China, the H-share index and the Hang Seng property market were in positive territory in here today, and it hasn't quite yet broken the sequence of lower rally highs, but it does look like that's a potential outcome, that we may be looking at a type 2 bottom here, which is the declining wedge, and it could give way to a good sized rebound up towards the 1,000-day moving average. And of course, that would then coincide with, in all likelihood at least, with Brazil announce, excuse me, Brazil is the next market I want to look at, but coincide with China announcing substantive stimulus measures. Now, when we look at Petróleo Brasileiro, it's been ranging for most of the last decade and pulled back in a rather violent manner in here today. That was enough to send the Brazilian market down a couple of percent. And when we look then at the wider market, well, this is looking like the potential at least for a failed upside break. Now, Brazil has got a lot going for it if we're in a new commodity-led bull market. And then the big question, of course, is whether that is indeed the case, because obviously oil prices were positive today. Generally, that would be positive for an oil company. But then we also still have a lot of variability in copper price. So it's almost like one day up and one day down, and there's quite a bit of work to do. And copper having surged 3 days ago, been quiet yesterday, pulled back rather sharply today, and it hasn't quite yet been able to sustain the move above the 200-day moving average. So if it can get above the $4 area, I think everyone will be a lot happier. Now, let's then look at some of these European markets. So the FTSE 100 is still reasonably steady. It's rebounded in much the same way that the Dividend Aristocrats Index has rebounded over the course of the last few weeks. And we're still trading in this band between about 7,200 and 8,000 points, which has been the case for most of the time for the last 7 years. Of course, with the big exception of the crash in 2020 as the exception that breaks the rule. Then the DAX is also, it's a total return index, which tends to flatter the market, but it is right in the region of its all-time peaks, and that was a fairly dynamic move in here today. I continue to see these stories about the low water in the Rhine, and obviously then that's problematic for companies that try to transport chemicals in particular down the river. So they're investing in shallow draft boats and also investing in other ways of moving stuff around, whether that's by train or truck. But this is not an insurmountable task, and it's something that companies will just simply deal with. But the DAX index popping on the upside here, that's certainly suggesting that global growth is at least holding on. And it's also an enthusiasm that the Chinese economy will eventually engage in stimulus that will boost infrastructure development. And then let's just think about, well, what are the companies that are leading it ahead? And you have a broad spread here. So you have sporting goods, you have Heidelberg Materials, which is the materials sector, technology, defense. And then you've DHL Group, which is right in there at number six. So We've had a lot of variability in some of the global shipping companies, particularly the packaging companies or package transportation. But DHL is now breaking out of a 12-month range. And UPS had to acquiesce to demands from the unions, and the share dropped precipitously on the news because they're going to have to spend a ton of money. And there's a sequence of lower rally highs that's been in place for the last year and a half. It's going to have to at least break that in order to confirm a return to demand dominance. And then FedEx is another that has rebounded in a really quite emphatic way. So the one thing that differentiates UPS is that it has historically relied on business from Amazon, and Amazon is largely, or well, I wouldn't say largely, but has been investing heavily in trying to outcompete UPS and have its own fleet of drivers, or these driving contractors. So the share has broken its downtrend. It's consolidating right now because it's a bit overbought and right in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. It absolutely needs to hold that area if the recovery is to be given the benefit of the doubt. But the thing that tech shares have been pricing in for the last 6 months is that the peak of the interest rate cycle is upon us. And the kind of data that we got today suggests that maybe it isn't. And of course, because the dollar was strong and bond yields are rising, well, then that did take a lump out of gold today. So gold prices were down in a reasonably dynamic manner. And this is suggesting that this consolidation around the 2000 level is going to hold for a while longer. So we could be in for a lengthier period of consolidation at the upper side of this 3-year range. Then silver prices were also down in a reasonably dynamic manner, but not declining more than a dollar, which has historically been the kind of event that would really scare investors. But silver isn't going to go up on its own. It will need gold to also perform. So we could be in for a lengthier period of consolidation if yields do follow through on the upside. But we're in quite a volatile environment where we're getting moves up one day, down the next. And the VIX index, having been really quite depressed, is beginning to steady here. That was quite a large move that we had today, and technically an upside key day reversal. Now, it's been a while since we've seen an upside key day reversal in the VIX, but because it didn't finish on the upper side of the daily range, we definitely need to see upside follow through tomorrow in order to confirm that we're back in a supply dominated environment. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.